Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. We've been talking about the Pritzker and Rauner battle for governor, and we should not forget that conservative Party candidate Sam McCann, he was not part of this last debate, but he's gone on the air with the first of his TV commercials, and you're not necessarily going to get to see them here in Chicago. It's a very limited buy. He also was scheduled to be here in the city yesterday on a visit to the South Side. But I wanted to play the ad because it's unlikely you'll probably see it or hear it. But this is Sam McCann in Central Illinois.
It's the same old story. A candidate hitting the road, talking with people, shaking hands, and hoping that the dots connect. But nobody wants to shake those idle hands. They want action. People are tired of being used, tired of being promised by the Rauners and the Pritzkers that change is coming. Well, change hasn't come, and people need action now. They need someone to stand up together with them. I am that man. I'm the only true conservative running for governor. I'm Sam McCann, and I want your vote for governor.
Joining me now on the phone is Amanda Vinicky, a good friend of the program, correspondent for WTTW Channel 11 Chicago Public Television. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Nothing better than to start with a Sam McCann ad, right? Now, at least at least when he drops his G's, he comes by it honestly, right?
I think that that is true. I've known Senator McCann for some years now after having covered him in Springfield, and that is how he always sounds. So, yes, that is au naturel.
Well, I figure, again, not many people are going to hear that much from him directly. Obviously, he was not part of that last debate. I'm not sure if he will be part of the remaining two appearances that they're supposed to make.
You know, I'm not sure either. I know that there was a 10% polling threshold for
that was the League of Women Voters
past debate, but going forward, I'm not clear, and I have certainly spoken with a lot of people in political circles about that, and, you know, should they be included, should they not? Because it's not just him. There's also, of course, Libertarian candidate Grayson Cash Jackson, who was not part of that either. He doesn't have the same funds as McCann, not up on air at all.
Right.
Not getting that union boost.
Right. And
that McCann is getting.
So the two, you were originally supposed to be seeing both of them tomorrow.
Yeah, I was.
And something happened.
So, from my understanding, this is WTTW works with the Mikvah Challenge to basically we're the host. I've described it as this, if there's a wedding, we would be the hotel, you know, we coordinate, we do a lot of the work, but this is a program that is coordinated by the Mikvah Challenge, part of a curriculum to teach high school students about civics. And as part of that, there historically has been an opportunity for students to ask questions of leading candidates. WTTW did have a program with all of the various Democratic contenders for the nomination. And we did that during the primary and was set on Monday to do one with J.B. Pritzker and Bruce Rauner. Apparently, while the Rauner campaign had agreed in principle to participating, they have not agreed to the date. So the Rauner campaign says this is not backing out or canceling. I will leave it to folks otherwise to determine for themselves how they view it, from a candidate who had said he wanted at least a dozen debates or forums and was blaming Pritzker for not being agreeable to that. And so, yes, midweek last week, apparently the Rauner campaign coordinated with the Mikvah folks to say that Monday wouldn't work. He was just too busy.
Well, and, you know, beware that question from the high school students.
You know,
and I'm not belittling them at all.
No,
but it's,
yeah,
but it's,
I've looked over the questions, and there are some pretty pointed questions for both of the candidates, really. Others, I think, are more earnest, and sometimes those can be the most, you know, revealing when it's not the same issues that we have been talking about. The questions, I believe, were questions. student submitted the questions, that is, prior to this week of all of the news with both the toilet tax scandal and the Legionnaires investigation and the verdict in the Laquan McDonald, Jason Van Dyke trial. So that was all, none of those are included, but there are some interesting ones. And we will still on Chicago Tonight have an appearance by Mr. Pritzker. He will be facing questions from the students solo tomorrow night.
Well, and as you said, those kinds of questions, they get them off their talking points.
And which is really hard to do, let me tell you.
Especially in October, yes, and getting the rote answers all the time. But as I spoke with Tony Arnold in the previous segment, I mean, we ended last week with basically each candidate accusing the other of just being criminals. And that's the state of our politics today here in Illinois.
It certainly does not inspire a lot of hope. And so, I mean, I'm not sure what to say about that other than that somebody who covers government and does watch and see a lot of the dysfunction, there are people that are working hard to, I think, try to do the right thing and to advance policy. But at this point in the game, it is, I think, for a lot of people, pretty disgusting and frustrating, and all of that, of course, can lead to suppression and voter turnout and people feeling like their vote doesn't matter, and, you know, that we get into this whole cycle, I think, on the state and the federal level, of course, and you understand why politicians stick to those talking points. You don't want a last-minute slip of tongue to ruin your opportunity at elected office, and at the same time, it seems as if it is a form of almost disrespect for the voters by refusing to actually answer a question and share details on the policies that will most certainly, of course, affect their lives. And it's frustrating as a reporter to have to deal with that. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the gotcha question, but you are. I am a fan of any sort of question that will lead us to a better understanding of what is behind the candidates and what it is that they're going to attempt to do when and if elected.
Yeah, there's that thing called substance, you know?
Yeah,
and,
I haven't seen a lot of it.
Certainly not lately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you touched on the issue of Pritzker and the property tax controversy over the toilets. And, you know, I mentioned to my colleague Hal Dardick about the fact that the Rauner camp made this a very lighthearted kind of attack, you know, with the porcelain prince of tax avoidance and the Pritzker lookalike and the Pritzker plumbing company and that. And now you've got the governor, as a result of this Cook County Inspector General's report, you've got the governor, well, this is as serious as a heart attack, and you got to pay, you know, people, this is not a joking matter. That's the campaign that made it a joke.
Yeah, the campaign made it a joke. And what is really surprising to me is that, all right, maybe voters wouldn't make that connection or care that much if there were new commercials. Just, I would flash over the TV, Inspector General scheme to defraud. You know, you just highlight that. It seems to me to be a very easy ad to make and to get up and running, particularly when Rauner has not put anywhere near as much money into this race as has Pritzker, but he's got some of the funds to be able to do a quick turnaround and do it. And instead, the ads that we see on air, I mean, the day, 2 days, 3 days after the scandal broke, I believe it was still, you know, just a woman who ended up being evidently a hired consultant paid by the Rauner campaign who says she's a lifelong Democrat but still stands by Rauner. There was nothing about this controversy that most certainly, I think, you know, you talk to people and a lot of people are frustrated and Rauner could match that with this guy wants to raise your taxes. I mean, it writes itself, and yet he hasn't taken that approach. It's still just toilets out on the street and that's about it.
Toilet props. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Amanda Vinicky, correspondent with Channel 11 WTTW in Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking the Chicago Marathon runners on North Columbus Drive. And on the phone is Amanda Vinicky, WTTW Channel 11 Chicago correspondent. We're talking about the race for governor and the dueling controversies that exist and the campaign that features two candidates pointing at each other and saying he's the bigger criminal than I am. And the frustration that exists here. You know, there's still a face-to-face meeting between these candidates before the Chicago Sun-Times editorial board this week on Tuesday. And then on Thursday is the final broadcast debate, ironically enough, in Quincy, Illinois. WGEM Television and the Illinois Broadcasters Association carrying that debate statewide. But if I'm Governor Rauner, why do I want to do a debate in Quincy?
You know, I thought that was interesting. How that worked out was the Pritzker campaign came out first saying these are the three debates, was really what it is. There have, as you noted, been other appearances, including the Sun-Times, though Pritzker, of course, skipping the Tribune editorial board. Pritzker's campaign coming out with basically, hey, these are the three debates that we will do. The one that was just this past week, and earlier one that was also in Chicago, and then Quincy. And who would have thought it? I believe that that was very intentional on the Pritzker campaign's part. And
well, I admit when
the Legionnaires, go ahead.
When they proposed it, I laughed.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like, it was, you know exactly what this is all about.
For sure. It's a jab, jab, jab. And that could have been handled any number of ways. I'm not privy to the inner discussions between the manager and folks on the Rauner campaign to determine, hey, let's accept that. I mean, there could have been a different way. We accept these debates. And who knows, of course, how that would have turned out. As I noted, Rauner folks did try to point the finger at Pritzker for saying he is trying to dodge the opportunity to speak in public. That itself was ironic because Rauner had avoided at all costs any face-to-face forums with his primary opponent, Jeannie Ives, but then said, you know, in this general election, we need to be available to voters, and he wanted to engage in any of these sort of debates. So how and why they accepted that one is beyond me, but it so most certainly will be interesting. Rauner has gone to that veterans home in Quincy several times, and certainly there are individuals, I heard you speaking with Tony, I mean, there are individuals of loved ones who very much blame him for what went on at the veterans home and the spread and the lack of appropriately handling the Legionnaires' disease. Rauner, nonetheless, I think, perceives that he has allies there after having made appearances and worked with the community. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
I do think you're right to an extent that the governor does think he has allies there, because when these outbreaks were occurring, dating back to 2015 and annually after thereafter, but there was a great deal of concern in the business community and among city leaders in Quincy that they were going to shut the thing down. I mean, you had Dick Durbin, you had all kinds of people saying this thing has to be shut down until we can find the source of the Legionella bacteria. But at the same time, you now have a state budget that includes, you know, the beginnings of the money to rebuild that Quincy Veterans Home. And so
the Veterans Home, and also an overhaul of the water infrastructure, really,
for
in
Quincy,
the entire community.
Right, for the entire
the
city of Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could see where there might be, you know, some viewing him as a hero there. It's going to be a very, I think, mixed reaction.
Let's be clear, Rick, in terms of setting, closing down that veterans home, that's something that, to be clear for Chicago listeners, could be very devastating for Quincy, where you don't have large facilities like you do all around.
Yeah, we're talking,
I mean, that would be a major economic impact.
Yeah, we're talking about these downstate communities we talk all about, where the principal mm-hmm. employer, for the most part, is the state of Illinois because of an institution that's located there.
And, exactly.
And uprooting that, Quincy becomes, you know, just a road to Hannibal, Missouri.
It's a pretty little water town, but...
Yeah, the Mark Twain exhibits and all of that. Well, one last question I had, Amanda, is obviously we have this governor's race, but on Friday everything overshadowed by the guilty verdict of Jason Van Dyke. I've been asking everybody this morning, where do you see this changing the city?
Ooh, you know, I was covering the activists, the people who were part of the movement as they marched through the streets of Chicago on Friday, and there was such a range of emotion. Individuals were jubilant and basically dancing. Others were still clearly raw anger, you could see, and there were a few that wanted to take the march toward, for example, the Board of Trade, saying this is where we've got to stick it to them where it hurts in the financial area. And then others who were crying because this was what was considered historic, in that a police officer, particularly a white one, punished for on-duty actions in terms of murdering a black son of the community. So how that changes, I think we will have to, this is a cop-out.
No.
Wait and see, because Saturday, I know this coming week, a lot of those who are leaders of the movement are getting together to figure out their next steps. They want to really have civilian accountability over the police department that is not part of the consent decree that has been agreed to by the city of Chicago and Illinois' attorney general. So, and I'm not sure that that will happen.
And we also have to see how that plays out, you know, in terms of the mayoral race as well.
The mayoral race, a big part of that will be the Fraternal Order of Police contract. So I think there is, and of course the police, there are those who feel as if they are now under attack and unable to do their jobs for fear that they could be the next Jason Van Dyke. So I think while this is certainly significant and is a verdict, and will be a major point along any sort of timeline in criminal justice and police community relations in the city of Chicago, it is certainly not the end of it. It is a hallmark, but not the end. And there are going to be both sides who are feeling still, as I noted, I think very raw and renewed because of what happened on Friday.
That's Amanda Winicky, WTTW Channel 11 correspondent in Chicago. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It was my pleasure, and good luck to all those marathoners.
We'll be back with more right after this.